Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying now in the book of Ephesians. And today our study is in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 24. And as we study these verses, we will go back over all of the others, because this is lesson number 10, which is the final lesson that we will have in the book of Ephesians. So let us begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't learn and understand your truths without the Holy Spirit. And we just ask now that the Holy Spirit come in among us. We know that He dwells in our hearts. And I pray that each of us will open our hearts and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us and give us understanding of your truths, that we may know you more. And in knowing you more, Father, that we will live it out, that you will be glorified, that those all around us may see Jesus living in us and not see us, because it's about you, Father, and about Jesus, your only begotten Son. And we just thank you and praise you for your word. Every word that is written is your word, your truth, Father. And we just can't read it enough, we can't study it enough, we can't pray enough to have understanding. But we know that only through you can we understand. And we ask today that you just pour out a double portion upon us and give us understanding of your truths and help us to live it out to glorify your name. I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, we are looking today, as we are finishing up this final section of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And in this final part of the letter, Paul tells us how to walk in victory, how we can overcome. And sometimes a lot of believers don't understand the provisions that God has made for victory over Satan. But we know through your word that Christ has overcome Satan and all of his armies. And his victory is ours by faith. Christ overcame Satan at the cross when he died for our sins, and his blood covered our sins. So we want to review a little bit and see what we have learned in this book or in this letter that Paul has written to the Ephesians, because it was pinned down not only for the Ephesians, but for all believers, even up today for us, because we too are believers in Christ Jesus. So we're looking at going back to chapter 1. We learned, in verses 3 through 14 about the blessings and the riches that we have as believers in Him, in Christ Jesus. And then from chapter 1, verse 15 through 23, we read about Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, and that was also a prayer that was for us as believers. And then in chapter 2, we learned that Gentile believers also were saved by grace and became part of the body of Christ. So they were no longer two, but they were one, the Gentiles and the Jews, in the church. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, Paul explained the mystery. And that mystery, of course, was whenever, God gave Paul understanding that the gospel wasn't only for the Jew, but for both the Jew and the Gentile. And then in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, we read again Paul's prayer that was made for the church, which we make up the church also. Now, in chapter 4, Paul said, "Therefore, walk in a manner worthy of your calling." They were no longer to walk as Gentiles. These were new believers of the Gentiles. And in chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, Paul said to walk, how they were to walk. They were to walk in love, light, and as wise men. And then verses, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, he talked to husbands and wives how that they were to love one another. And then he spoke of the mystery of Christ and the church. And then as we started in chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, he spoke to the children, the fathers, the slaves, and the masters. And then looking at chapter 6, verse 10 through 17, Paul talks about the armor of God. So we are going to look now at these verses in chapter 6 because we have learned a review of how that God instructed Paul to write down his word that we could have understanding of his truth. So let's begin with chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So what is Paul saying here? He has already told them that there was a spiritual war going on. And in this, he tells them and us how that we can overcome. And he's saying, first of all, by being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We have, as believers, the strength of God, the strength of the Lord, and his power. And Paul goes on to say to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we're going to be studying today, that whole armor of God. And the reason that Paul said to put on the whole armor, he explains that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against the lies and all the things that the devil puts before a believer to try to discourage us. So we need to have something that we can fight back with. And Paul has said that we have is God's armor. And he goes on to say in the 12th verse that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Our fight is not against this old human body that we live in, but it's against the powers and against the rulers of the darkness. That is Satan, against spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan and his angels, that's what we're fighting against. So let's look at some other scriptures that tells us about the devil, the one that we're fighting against. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44, starting with, well, the only verse we're going to read is John 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. In this scripture, John the Apostle wrote down, and he was told by Jesus, and he wrote down the words of Jesus. And Jesus was speaking here to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes that were against him and against the truth. And he was telling them that they were of their father, the devil, and that the devil and the desires of your father you want to do. He's saying that you, as followers of Satan, you want to do the things that he does because he is a murderer and has always been, and there's no truth in him because he's a liar and he is the father of lies. So this is what Paul is saying. We're fighting against the devil, against the one that is a liar and a murderer. And let's see what 1 Peter 5:8 says. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here Peter is saying that we as believers should be sober. We should be walking in the light of Christ, because the devil is the one that is here, the power over the earth, and he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking after who he may devour. And those are us as believers. And we have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard. Now let's see what 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So John says in this scripture that we know that we're of God and that the world is under the wicked one, under Satan. And then going back and reviewing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, let's read that scripture, Ephesians 2, 2, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So here we learned that Paul was saying that he was speaking to the church and of course to us, and he was saying, this is where you once were. You once walked in the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, the spirit that he is of disobedience. So he's the one working in the sons of disobedience, unbelievers. And he uses them to war against believers. But we wrestle, we struggle with the devil. It is not with flesh and blood, and it's against the devil and his associates. Now, we have studied earlier in the book of Acts in chapter 19, and I'm not going to read those verses, but what we learned was that when Paul took the gospel to Ephesus, there was evil spirit inhabiting the people there. And even some of the people, we learned, were practicing magic. But whenever Paul spoke the gospel and some were saved, they burned those magic books and they repented of their sins. So that's what we learned about how that after people became believers, that they destroyed all these things that Satan had brought into their lives. Now then, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Chapter 2 of Colossians 13, 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive with him, Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So here we learn that there's no need for Christians to fear these demonic beings because Jesus has triumphed over all of them at the cross. He disarmed them for all believers. And we now are filled with that power that he gave. Now I want to read 1 Peter chapter 3, 21 through 22. 1 Peter 3, 21, 22. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So God, Jesus triumphed over all these things that Satan and his angels have brought into this world. He has already overcome that, and we practice that by showing the world through baptism as believers that we have died with Christ and that we have been resurrected with him. And he is in heaven at the right hand of God. So angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. So, let's look now at the next scripture in Ephesians 1, verses 20-23 that we studied when we first started our study. Ephesians 1, 20-23, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that in that which is to come. So, here in these scriptures, we see that God himself seated Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he seated him at his right hand. And it's above all these principalities and power and dominion and might. And every name that is named, not only in this age, the time then and now, but also in the age which is to come. And that speaks of the time when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom here in this earth, the age that is to come. And all things was put under Jesus' feet, and God gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all that fills all. So all power and all glory was given to the Lord Jesus Christ through God his Father. And that's what we have because we learned in chapter 1 of Ephesians that in Christ we have become heirs and joint heirs with him. So let's go forward now in Ephesians 6. Chapter 6 that we're on today, and look at verses 13 through 20, because in order for us to be able to overcome these things that are we face in life, in the world, we have an enemy to fight. So Paul gives us the equipment that we need. We have to have something to fight against Satan. And the armor here that Paul describes is for protection. The sword, which is God's word, is the actual battle. And each part of that spiritual armor tells us what we as believers must have in our life if we're to overcome and not be deceived. So let's read these verses, starting with verse 13 of chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So, what is Paul saying now? He's saying, in order to fight against these principalities that are here in the air, against Satan and his demons, we must put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand. And he names these, he said, having done all to stand. So the first thing that he gives us to put on is the truth. Gird your waist with truth. Now, we can kind of draw a picture of a Roman soldier, and as we look at the armor that he wears, we can compare that with a spiritual armor that we must put on. Now, a soldier puts on his waist, first of all, a belt. And this belt that goes around his waist contains some of the things that he needs to fight the battle with. And it holds up these things needed that he fights with, this belt. So we compare that with putting on a belt, girding our waist with truth. The word truth is, it's the part of the garment. It is what holds up everything that we believe in, the truth. And then he goes on to say the next thing that a soldier puts on is a breastplate of righteousness, a breastplate. And we as believers must put on a breastplate of righteousness. Now that breastplate on a Roman soldier protects his chest, protects the most vital part of his body. It covers his heart. So, as believers, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and that means that we consistently walk as a Christian. So Satan is always accusing believers, but the believer that walks in the light will give Satan an opportunity to attack him. We're going to put on righteousness following the things that we have learned from Jesus. He was righteous. And we, of course, were sinners. There was nothing righteous about us. But whenever Christ came into our heart, then he gave us righteousness. So we have that breastplate of righteousness. So this is something else that we must have as believers. And then the next thing he is saying, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Now, Roman soldier would wear sandals, and these sandals were specially made. They were strong. They give him a protection that he could, these sandals was made where he could implant his feet and not slide or not trip. That they had something that would help him to be firm as he walked. And so here as a believer, we must shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. So what is that? What does that mean? The gospel is the word. It says the gospel of peace, and Satan is a divider of that peace. And whenever a believer walks in the way of peace, which is the way of the gospel, then Satan can't reach us as if we're walking in peace among ourselves and walking in peace to please and do God's will. So we must keep our feet clean. There's many scriptures that tells us that we're to shod our feet with the gospel. That's how that we're able to walk. It says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. So our feet must be shod with the gospel. That means that we're to have the gospel in our minds and hearts in everything that we do. And then he says next, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So how important is it then that we take the shield of faith? The Roman soldier, they have a shield that they hold in their hand that gives them the protection that they can fight against these darts that are sent out. They fight against darts that come from the enemy. Actual in battle, some of the darts would have oil or something on them, and they would light those, and when they fired them into the source that they were trying to destroy, it would set it on fire. And if it went into a soldier's heart, if he didn't have that shield, didn't have that faith, that shield to protect him, that was his shield of faith. Well, we're looking at a spiritual shield of faith. And that is whenever we have become believers, we have faith to believe. And that is our shield to fight against the principalities of Satan. So it's very important that we have that shield, because Satan is a source of unbelief and doubt. You know, even back in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, Satan told or asked or he questioned God, and he said to Eve, hath God really said this? So it is so important then that we have belief. And that's one of his favorite weapons. And we have the strongest weapon to overcome him by faith. And so as the believer puts on the shield of faith in front of Satan, then the fiery darts of unbelief and doubt are kept away by having faith in Christ Jesus. And then, what does he say next? And take up, this is verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So, taking up the helmet of faith, the helmet of salvation. So, the soldier, Roman soldier, wore on his head a helmet, and it came down over his head and covered and protected his head. And that was another part of the armor that protected him. Now, our helmet as a believer is salvation. knowing that we have salvation and that we have a promise that was made in Christ Jesus through salvation, through our belief. By faith, you are saved through the grace of God, or by the grace of God. And that is our protection. That is our helmet and the sword of the Spirit. And we know that once we believed that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and this Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us, leads us, directs us, and protects us. And the soldier, the Roman soldier, had a sword that was sharp, and he used that as protection. But we have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is what is our sword to fight against the enemy. But he doesn't end there. He goes on to say, Paul says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What Paul is saying here is so important, that as believers, that we're always praying. Praying with prayer and supplication, giving thanks to Him, telling Him how much that we love Him and how much that we believe in Him, and that we want to serve Him and do His will. Supplication, saying to Him that we want to give our best and we want to give our all, and we want to always please Him. It says being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, we're to pray for one another, for all the saints. And he said to be alert in our prayer and be watchful for these saints and to pray for one another. Perseverance is another trait for prayer. He says, with all perseverance. Perseverance is persisting, continuing to carry on, since we have all the necessary armor, that we can persevere. And we know that he says in this last verse, 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, this is Paul, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, Paul knew that if he put on this armor, that no matter what he was going through, whether he was in chains or he was not in chains, he said, I am assured, he said, I know that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, because I am an ambassador in chains. He is a speaker. He is a representative. Being an ambassador, he represents the Lord Jesus. And even though he's in chains, he's still a representative, and he could speak boldly as he ought to speak. You know, he was there in Rome in prison, and he would have guards every 4 hours. And every time that they changed guards with him, it was another opportunity for Paul to witness and to give the glory to God by speaking to each guard that stood chained with him. Every 4 hours, what an opportunity. Paul took advantage, even when he was in chains or when he was not in chains. He took advantage all the time of the opportunity that God gave him to glorify God's name and speak the gospel. How often do we have the opportunity, even not in chains, to speak the gospel, and we fail to do that? We should be alert and be aware at all times whenever God gives us an opportunity to speak His truth, to glorify Him. And no matter what the situation may be, we must always feel free, because we have the full armor of God to help us to glorify Him. Now, what did we just learn this armor was? It was truth. We have truth in the Word of God. It was the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, let's finish up in these last verses of Ephesians 6, verses 21 through 24. Verses 21 through 24 of chapter 6. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Titus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So Paul closes this, or he ends it, with peace and grace, as he began with love and faith. He is concerned about those of the church at Ephesus that he's writing to, and he wants them to know what's going on. And he sends his friend Titus, and he calls him a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. And he said, I'm sending him to you for this purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. And then he closes out by saying, peace to you and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those, that includes us today, who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So Paul's concern was not about Paul, but it was about the Lord Jesus and serving him, and the love that he had for his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. What an example that Paul has been to each of us. You know, his example was, he said, follow me and be my example, because I am the example of Christ. Paul wasn't taking credit ever on himself. He said that my life is Christ. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. So I pray that each of us and each of you that have been listening and studying the Word of God here in the book of Ephesians with us. I pray that all of us have learned so much more about our Lord Jesus and our Father God, that we will endeavor to always put on the full armor that He provides for us, that the world around us may see Jesus and that He will be glorified. So let us close, and I'm praying that, God willing, that we'll be studying more of His Word, and that will be coming up soon in the next month or so. So always watch for the next study, and let me close in prayer. Father, Heavenly Father, our most gracious Father, Lord of lords and King of kings, holy and righteous God, there is not enough words that can describe what a great and mighty God that You are. And we can't begin to thank You for Your precious Son, the indescribable gift that You have given to each believer and whosoever will believe. I do pray that You will take every word that we have read and studied in this study, and may it be used to glorify You. Father, take each of us and use us. Cleanse us and purge us, that You may use us to glorify Your name, to go out in this dark world and tell those that are still under the power of Satan, tell them about Jesus, the power that has defeated Satan and all of the enemies. Teach us, Father, guide us, direct us, that we may serve You and we may give You all the glory. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.